ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड स्लेज द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 विल बी कवरिंग 14 एंड देन 15। तदैव तस्मिन् निनदोति भीषणो बभूव येनान्दकटाहमस्फुटत् यं वै स्वधिष्ण्योपगतं त्वजादया श्रुत्वा सधामात्मयमङ्गमे निरे। तदैव तस्मिन् निनदोति भीषणो बभूव येनान्तकटाहमस्फुटत् यं वै स्वधिष्ण्योपगतं त्वजादया श्रुत्वा स्वधामात्मयमङ्गमे निरे। ट्रांसलेशन। Then, from within the pillar, came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhishthir, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. Purport by His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanarvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. As we sometimes become very much afraid at the sound of a thunderbolt, perhaps thinking that our homes will be destroyed, the great demigods like Lord Brahma feared the thundering sound that came from the pillar in front of Hiranyakashipu. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaurade Pushpavanto Chitroshando Tamunido Ugo. So, we have to just recapitulate, go back one verse to see the continuation. Yesterday, in the wonderful class given by Brajavasi Prabhu, he explained verse number 13, where Hiranyakashipu has reached the acme of his frustration, the peak. And he says that if your Lord is there to protect you, then let him come forward, because right now I am going to chop off your head. And verse 14, evam durakter muhur ardayan rusha sutam mahabhagavata mahasura khadgam pragrihiyot patito varasanat stambham tata dati balasamushtina. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who was great in bodily strength, just chastised his exalted devotee son Prahlad with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column. So, this verse 14 shows the symptoms or the progression of a person who has submitted his consciousness to the mode of passion. Although when we speak of the three modes, we may just speak this is mode of goodness or ignorance or passion. These modes are very, very intricate. They are very, very systematic and they logically present themselves. For someone whose intelligence has been captured by material energy, it may be helpful to understand how this functioning takes place. It is not very essential, but it could be helpful. Just as people are so much interested in trying to understand what is happening to them, if it is some disease that has plagued their body, then they want to understand, what is this disease? How did it come into being? How does it manifest? What are its symptoms? What is happening to me? What is it going to affect? Similarly, if some financial situation affects them, then they want to know how it affects them, how the investment will help them, or how a particular ruling will adversely affect them. This is but natural. Why is it natural? Because the intelligence is involved. And everyone possesses, this is a God-given gift, everyone possesses intelligence to some extent. They may manifest it differently upon their prarabdha or how they desire now in this particular body. They may manifest it in various ways. So intelligence being there, it is but natural that as soon as one feels very strongly about something, one wants to analyze it. Sentiment is just the opposite. Sentiment is, one has already accepted that this is what I am or will be, and there is nothing else required for me to do. So one is not very careful, alert, and not much analysis is there. Therefore, always we see whenever the Lord is presenting the philosophy, He very systematically analyzes and presents it. It is meant for people to engage, for the living entities to engage their intelligence in. And here we can see that how it is a common day affair. It is not something very, very difficult, required. You need a PhD to understand this. Hiranyakashipu becomes so frustrated, as it was mentioned yesterday, that he just, it could not, somehow or the other, his understanding could not come to a conclusion as to how this person who is so seemingly helpless is fearless. And I, who am so powerful, am fearful. I have so much power, but still I fear my son. Maybe Prahlad is going to be the cause of my death. Who knows? At the previous chapters, it explains Hiranyakashipu's consciousness. Maybe this is my death. Now Hiranyakashipu, at least, he was convinced that he is not going to die. He had made total arrangements for that. And he was really convinced. If he had not been convinced, then he would have made some other provisions. There was no small conditions apply in his provisions, you know. When he made his charter of demands to Lord Brahma, Hiranyakashipu was not like today's scene. People are always fearful. He was not fearful in that sense. He knew, I have made arrangements for everything. Therefore, he did not have to put an asterisk and say, conditions apply. Not necessary. He was so convinced. Still, he feels, maybe Prahlad will be the cause of my death. Prahlad, Maharaj, has been continuously tortured and seemingly put to death. But there is not an iota of fear in him. And this is not what is being perceived by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he does not fall into this duality, fearfulness, fearlessness. He has no time for that. But Hiranyakashipu is analyzing. This is his perception. How come I am so fearful and he is so fearless? And one of the byproducts of fearfulness is one becomes very passionate. It appears as if one is outwardly very courageous, very brave. But when it is not backed up by sufficient good intelligence, then that is simply cowardice in the form of bravado. So here he says, he takes up his sword and he says, I'm going to chop off your head. First sign. They speak big, big words. Those who are actually brave don't speak. They act. So this shows his fear. I'm going to chop off, sever off your head. Second thing, where is your protector? Show me. If he is there, let him come forward. Fear of the unknown. A brave person does not care who is coming. Let them manifest whenever they want. I am ready. But Hiranyakashipu is like, where is he? If he is there, let him come and protect you. Then, when he gets up, he goes and hits his hand against the very pillar which is symbolic of the existence of Vishnu. So till now there was only speech. Mind was already agitated. Speech is definitely being influenced by the mode of passion, and now his actions show. And this clearly shows how much in fear Hiranyakashipu is. So that is the verse 14. It just stops there. Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column. Hiranyakashipu never previously had done any of these acts. Mind. Please mind that. Tim, try to make a note of it. Never with the demigods did he have to do some activity. He just had to raise his eyebrows in an intoxicated state. Unknowingly. And that was sufficient. But to cause fear in Prahlad, he actually had to go and hit the pillar. And he had not imagined, planned it. It happened involuntarily out of his fear. That is a mode of passion. Then verse 15 brings in something very interesting. This is the poetic quality of Shukadev Maharaj again. Or right here it is Narad Muni, and Vyasadev and then Shukadev Maharaj have repeated it. Ninado Atibhishano. Ninadaha means sound. So this word sound seems to be very ordinary. And nothing attached to it. So there was a sound produced. Alright. And then he says Atibhishan. Now it would have been alright, some of us would have, you know, and there was a big roar that came. Some of us think that this is how a presentation can be made and it is appropriate. But this is poetry. This is subtleness of presentation. When Narada Muni is presenting to Yudhishthir Maharaj, he says, there was sound, but it was Bhishan. Bhishan itself means very, very dangerous, very, very powerful. And Ati Bhishan means extremely. So, a sound which was very, very fearful, very powerful. And then he says, O Anga, you don't be afraid. You are my very body, you are my part and parcel. Anga means, you are just like my body. Anga me nire. So, previous verse 14 expresses the fear of Hiranyakashipu, how fearful Hiranyakashipu is, and obviously, those around him must have been fearful because they have never seen Hiranyakashipu in such a mood. They are also very fearful, except Shri Prahlad. And verse 15, he explains the cause of further fear. Now, real fear is going to manifest. Till now, it was a fear of the unknown. Now, there is going to be the abhas of the fear of the known, the reality. But it is still the abhas. It is still the rays that are manifesting. The full form is not manifesting. And that has been described as Atibhishan. So when the form of Narsingadev will be described, it will be like, never has this form been seen before. What is it? This is the poetry that is there. A wonderful description taking place. So, the concept of fear, now it takes up another route, another direction. And what is that? Yam vai swadhishna upagatam tu aja adayaha shrutva. Shrutva, hearing that, aja adi, the unborn one within this creation, that is Lord Brahma, and his vassals, his complete entourage of demigods, all of them became fearful. For what? Dhamma atyayam. That maybe their abodes may be destroyed by the sound. It was like a sonic boom. Just like sometimes there is a supersonic jet that passes here, and there are cracks in the windows, cracks in the ceilings by the sonic boom. So this was a different kind of supersonic boom. And they were fearing that maybe their abodes may get destroyed. Now why would the demigods fear? And it says, demigods like Brahma and others. Now this is meant to signify the nature, the powerful nature of the sound. When verses like this are given, one should be very careful while understanding these verses. It is not that Brahmaji actually was in the same mode of fear as Hiranyakashipu. When verses like this are explained, like even Brahma, someone like Brahma becomes fearful, it is meant to some or the other bring to us the gravity of the situation. And the possibility exists that even in the heavenly planets, although there are such advanced servants of the Lord, the quality of fear can still be there. So, let us try to understand this. I would like to narrate a pastime from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, through analyzing that very pastime, that how it is possible that fear can still exist when one renders devotional service. Because rendering of devotional service means one should be fearless. So how is it possible? However, it is said, Srila Prabhupada also says that these are tests in the lives of a practitioner, and Krishna will never test one beyond one's capacity. Different people have different levels of capacity, and Krishna knows, and therefore he never tests beyond a particular person's capacity to undergo a test. So, keeping this in mind, I would like to narrate this pastime from Antyalila. Lord Chaitanya, he took sannyas at the age of 24. And he made his pastimes unmanifest at the age of 48. Earthly time. So for 24 years of his life, which is almost half the period that Lord Chaitanya manifested his pastimes, he showed his pastimes as a sannyasi, a renunciate. And specifically, the last 12 years of his life was spent in intense feelings of affection and separation from Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains, daytime, because there were so many devotees and they would come to Gambhira, the Odia devotees would be there. And during the Chaturmas period, even the Gaudiya devotees would be there. because of the devotees coming and visiting the Lord and doing Sankirtan and narrating the pastimes of the Lord and so many other ways, the Lord would reciprocate with his devotees in such a nice way that his internal feelings, he would keep it dammed up. Damming up, there would be a dam. Some or the other he'd control the expression of his feelings. But at night, when everyone had gone to rest, and Lord Chaitanya was only in the association of Ramananda Rai or Swarup Damodar Goswami, there was no ways he could stop these feelings from manifesting. And these feelings were so intense. Kaviraj Goswami says, to describe these feelings in full would make the volume of this book increase to profound extent. Therefore, taking some mercy on the listeners, I'll try to summarize it. However, the real reason he says is, trying to understand the ecstasy felt by Lord Chaitanya is like a dwarf trying to catch the moon. Now, for an ordinary person to catch the moon is also impossible. 6'4", 5'8". Supposing he tries, what will people say? Pagal ho gaya hai kya? Kya kar raha hai? What are you doing? Trying to catch the moon. Just imagine if a dwarf tries to do that. So that is why that example is given. A dwarf trying to catch the moon. It is a hopeless situation. And then he says, just like the wind may carry only a drop of water from the ocean, carry with it and bring the fragrance and the coolness of the ocean. All it can do is just carry a few droplets. Similarly, trying to narrate the pastimes that Lord Chaitanya manifested is like a particle from the ocean of his ecstatic love. Even Krishna is sometimes unable to understand the extent and the limit of the manifestation of the feelings of his devotees. Even he cannot understand it. How come my devotee is so happy? What is he experiencing? And therefore he comes in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience it as a devotee. So what can an ordinary personality like myself, says Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, how can I narrate these pastimes? Still, if an ordinary living entity narrates the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a drop of it, a drop from the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, it is sufficient to purify him for eternity. And thus, Kaviraj Goswami starts explaining this past. And he says, Lord Chaitanya for these 12 years would behave in ways that would really test the love and the care, the loving caring emotions that the devotees had for him. For this 12 years, Lord Chaitanya was totally dependent externally and even on his internal satisfaction on the devotees' association. Externally, he was not aware of where he was, what he was doing. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would appear with so many bruises on his body because the whole night in feelings of separation of Krishna, he was trying to get to Krishna. However, the wall of the room proved to be a barrier. So he would go against the wall and rub his head and try to go against and bang his head. So there were all these bruises on the body of the Lord. And many a times, Lord Chaitanya would simply vanish from the room. Wall would not prove a barrier for him. He would simply vanish. And nobody knew where he was. And after a search, they would do Google search. Most probably. And zero items would turn up. So then they had to go out personally and try to find out where Lord Chaitanya is. And they would find him sometimes at the northern gate, sometimes at the eastern gate, the Simhadwara near the cows, sometimes near the ocean, sometimes at Chatak Parvat, various places. So this really tested the devotees' emotions for caring for the Lord. They were afraid in such a situation what would happen to the Lord. Now sometimes he was amongst the cows. The cows can, there could be a stampede, they can stamp you, they can kick. Many things can happen. And internally also he was dependent on devotees, because his mood was so intense that devotees had to somehow or the other pacify him or somehow or the other enthuse him. And these two devotees, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, knew exactly if Lord was feeling less enthusiastic because of, you know, there was no hope for him. Like a devotee feels, what is my hope? How will Krishna give me mercy? And they would narrate such wonderful pastimes of the Lord where he has showered mercy on the most hopeless. And this would enthuse the Lord. And sometimes the Lord would become so enthusiastic that right now he was ready to disappear. Where is Krishna? And they had to, please Lord, please wait. They had to narrate pastimes which would somehow or the other pacify the Lord. So in this way, for 12 years, he became totally dependent on the association of devotees. He manifested that. And Kaviraj Goswami says that during these times, especially during the season of autumn or Sharat, the Lord along with his devotees would wander through the various gardens of Jagannath Puri, remembering the pastimes of Krishna, hearing, narrating, and this would happen throughout the night. They would wander all through the night in the beautiful bright sunlight of the, sorry, moonlight of the autumn season. Under a Ashoka tree, under a Tamal tree, a Champak tree, various groves. One such autumn night, when the bright moon was illuminating and brilliantly, it was manifesting the Chintamani Dham, Sri Jagannath Puri, the various features of this Dham. Lord Chaitanya along with his devotees wandered through various gardens. And as they were near the temple of Aitota, the Lord saw the waters of the sea. The moonlight, because of its brightness, was making the high waves of the sea glitter such that it reminded Lord Chaitanya of the waters of the Jamuna. Lord Chaitanya thought, oh, this is Jamuna, and mistaking the sea for the Jamuna, he immediately ran and jumped into the waters unseen by anyone else. When the Lord touched the waters, he lost consciousness. He did not know where he was, what he was doing. Sometimes he would be submerged under the waves and sometimes he would float over the waves. In this way, the waves made the Lord go here and there, just like a piece of shushka kasht, dry wood. Such are the beautiful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And who can understand this dramatic presentation of his, this Chaitanya Nat? Sometimes submerged and sometimes floating, Lord Chaitanya was carried by the waves towards the Konark temple. He was so submerged in remembering the pastimes of Lord Krishna along with his devotees in the Jamuna that he did not realize that he had gone 19 miles along the shore north. Meanwhile, the devotees headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, they lost sight of Lord Chaitanya. Oh, where is Lord Chaitanya? Where is he gone? They were astonished. They started looking for him everywhere, asking, where is he? The Lord had run off at the speed of the mind. Actually, for Krishna to run off doesn't take even the speed of the mind. It's quite faster than that. But he has just simply vanished, such that no one could have seen him. And therefore the devotees are puzzled. What has happened to him? Has he gone off to the temple of Jagannath? Someone suggested, no. Maybe he has gone into some garden. And in his madness of love of Krishna, he has fallen down unconscious, uncared for, totally alone. Someone said, maybe he has gone to the Gundicha temple. Now for us, if those of us who have visited the Gundicha temple, other than when it is Rath Yatra, the temple complex is quite, it's totally, in one sense, uncared for. Not, there's hardly a soul there. So when the devotees are explaining that maybe he's gone to Gundicha temple, it is not that, oh, maybe he's gone to take darshan. It is out of concern. What if he's gone to the Gundicha temple in the night? No, there are rocks. There are huge walls, doorways which he cannot see because he is in ecstasy. Maybe he has gone to Lake Narendra, the Narendra Sarovar. Maybe he has gone to Chatak Parvat. Someone suggested maybe he has gone to Konark. In this way, trying to understand where Lord Chaitanya had gone, the devotees searched everywhere and finally came onto the shores accompanied by many others. Where is he? Where is he? The devotees are deeply concerned. Had the Lord having disappeared in such a fashion, without anyone knowing where he has gone, and after so much search, slowly the night ended. And when the night ended, the devotees felt, now Lord Chaitanya has disappeared. This made them feel so much separation from the Lord that everyone felt as if their own life had gone away. They felt that something, a mishap must have taken place. Some danger must have befallen the Lord. Where is he? What has happened? So as the devotees congregated on the shore of the ocean and were conferring among themselves, some of them went off to the Chatak Parvat to search for the Lord. Sarup Damodar Goswami headed east along with a few others. And they were trying to look for the Lord either in the water or on the beach. As they were proceeding along the beach, they found a fisherman approaching them at a distance with his net over his shoulder. And this fisherman was laughing. Then he was crying. He was dancing. And he was singing. And he was constantly repeating the holy names. Hari, Hari! Thank you. He was constantly repeating these holy names. Hari, Hari! Now seeing these activities of the fishermen, the devotees were little amazed. And Sarup Damodar Goswami, he felt a creeping doubt arising in him. He approached the fisherman and made some inquiries of him. He said, my dear fisherman, why are you behaving in such a way? It is not normal to find a fisherman with a net on his, you know, with his fish, with his net on his shoulder, and is sometimes dancing, laughing, chanting, crying, and constantly chanting Hari Hari. It is sometimes difficult even for devotees to do that. And this was repeatedly going on. It was like, you know, repeat mode that you have. It was just going on, Hari Hari, Hari Hari, Hari Hari. He said, why are you behaving in this way? Have you seen someone hereabouts? What is the cause of your behavior? Please tell us. The fisherman said, oh Baba, I have not seen anyone hereabouts. There is not a single person here that I have seen. However, when I threw my net in the waters, I caught a dead corpse, a dead body. I lifted it with great care and intention, thinking that it was a big fish. However, when I saw that it was a dead body, fear arose within my mind. This is how material nature is, isn't it? You go in for a big catch, and the stock market goes down. Fear arises. You think this is the right time to invest. Right? So here, and with great care we do it. With so much care to detail. Isn't it? Like many students have come from Lonere or Dapuli, where? Lonere. So with great care, they make a lot of study for the exams. And they find out during the exam, questions out of syllabus. Great fear arises in their minds. Isn't it? Material nature is like that. So I pulled in, paid care, and I found a dead body. Fear arose in my mind. Now this dead body was something very unique. Let me tell you about him. He said, as soon as I found a dead body, you know, in India, anyone, you see a dead body, you find a dead body, you touch a dead body, the first thing is, you try to purify yourself by chanting mantras, isn't it? Even carrying dead body, you say, Ram Naam Satya hai. Right? Because dead body signifies inauspiciousness. Death is inauspicious. Right? Fear. What to speak of the the other connotations that can arise. Ghost, this, that. So, I tried to release my net. And as I was releasing my net, I touched the dead body. As soon as I touched the dead body, the ghost entered into my heart. I started shivering with fear and shedding tears. I was dancing and the hairs on my body stood on end. My voice faltered. This ghost is something very, very unique. The body of this ghost, I'm not sure whether the dead body that I've captured is the ghost of a dead Brahmana or an ordinary man. But beware, anyone who even looks at him, the ghost enters his body. Isn't it typical? Just consider this. Many of us are from villages. If someone describes a ghost, isn't this how they describe a ghost? Even after just seeing him, it will enter. Hearing him, it enters. Simple fisherman. This is the sweetness of these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. There's nothing, something very, someone touching someone's head and realization coming. This is meant for some ordinary day-to-day activities, Krishna consciousness. The body of this ghost is very long, 5 to 7 cubits long. Now cubits, from this end of the finger to this end of the shoulder is 1 cubit. It varies from person to person. So previously only tailors would stitch clothes, no one else. Because each tailor would have his fixed measurement. This is 1 cubit. Now generally one's body will be 3, 2.5, 3, at the most 3.5 cubits. 3 times 1 arm's length, right? 1 whole hand length. It can't be more than that. Imagine 5 to 7 cubits long. See a body like that, what will one fear? What will one feel? Even if it is right outside the temple complex here in the dead of the night, if you see that. And this fisherman saw it. And he says his arm or his legs itself is 2 to 3 cubits long. The size of 3 arms. And the joints in between the bones are all disconnected. The skin is slack. Just thinking of the ghost makes me so fearful. But this ghost, the body of this ghost, it appears like a dead body. However, the eyes are open. Sometimes the ghost goes gong, 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 gong. Sometimes it's unconscious. Now this ghost, I've seen this ghost directly and it is haunting me. Maybe I will die. But if I die, what will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? It is such a big trouble. This ghost haunting me. But I will go to our exorcist and ask him, can you release me from this ghost, from this haunt? And then the fisherman, he looked at the devotee and said, you please do not go. I forbid you. If you go, the ghost will catch all of you. Now Sarup Damodar Goswami, when he heard this entire description, slowly he understood what the full truth was. Right? Like the moment he saw,
He knew these are the symptoms of someone who is touched by Lord Chaitanya. Hasati, rodati, rauti, nritya, gayati. These are the symptoms described in the Bhagavatam. Unmadam gayati lokabahya. He doesn't care for people who are looking for society, what they will say, because love of Godhead has manifested in him. So he saw those symptoms, he understood, and now hearing his words confirmed. So Sarva Damodar Goswami, he saw this fisherman was very fearful. So very intelligently, in very sweet words, he said, I am a famous exorcist. And I know how to rid you of this ghost. And he chanted certain mantras, put his hand on the head of the fisherman, slapped him 3 times and said, Bhagja. And he said, now the ghost has gone away. Don't be afraid. The fisherman, when he saw all this, he became a little pacified. Kaviraj Goswami writes, the fisherman was affected by the ecstatic love of Krishna, by the touch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the same time, he was affected by fear because he thought he had seen a ghost. And this was making him doubly agitated. You know, a monkey is already agitated. You give him some drink, becomes more agitated, add a little ginger to it, finished. So, here was double agitation. Now, the words of Sarva Damodar Goswami had subsided his fear and therefore he became somewhat normal. And seeing that he had become normal, Sarva Damodar Goswami said, that person whom you are thinking is a ghost is not a ghost, but actually is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I'll just try to go through the past time, but each of this is so significant. Just to stress on this point, when Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami is introducing the first concept of God unto a fisherman who has received the mercy of the Lord, but is fearful, he explains it in full. He does not say, this is just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the complete manifestation of the Absolute Truth totally removes any nations that may be in the living entity. He is manifesting his ecstatic symptoms. And because of that, he fell into the sea, lost consciousness. You have captured him in your net and saved him. By touching Lord Chaitanya, the dormant love of Krishna that was within your heart has awakened. But because you thought that he was a ghost, you became fearful of him. Hearing these words from Sarva Damodar Goswami, the fisherman accepted it. But then he said, actually, I have seen Lord Chaitanya. I have seen the Lord myself so many times in Jagannath Puri. I know his address, Mr. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gambhira. I know that. Every year he dances in Rath Yatra. We have seen him. But I tell you, this is not the Lord. This is not his body. His body is so deformed. Sarva Damodar Goswami said, sometimes when his Lord becomes ecstatic, his body becomes transformed and sometimes even elongated because the joints become disjointed. You just please take us to him. Don't be afraid. And the fishermen took them to that place very happily. And they saw Lord Chaitanya, his body elongated, joints totally separate from each other. The complete body bleached because of being whole night in water, covered with sand from head to toe. Lord totally unaware of his surroundings. Seeing that his body was so disjointed and elongated, they concluded, this state, it is not possible that we can carry him all the way back home to Gambhira. Therefore, the only recourse that they had was Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And for a long time and really deep and sincere chanting, Finally, it reached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he awoke. But when he awoke, he spoke like a madman. Nobody understood what he was speaking. Kaviraj Goswami said, Lord Chaitanya was lying and he awoke, he looked at the sky and started speaking. So this is called his Ardha Bahya consciousness or half external consciousness. The Lord exhibited three types of consciousness: Antara, Bahya and Ardha Bahya. Internal consciousness, external consciousness and half external consciousness. Internal consciousness was when he was lying unconscious, merged in Krishna's pastimes. External consciousness when he speaks to devotees regularly. And half external means he is awake but is still remembering the pastimes of Krishna, unaware of the surroundings. So this went on for a long time. Devotees continued Sankirtan and finally came to the external consciousness and said, where am I? Why did you bring me here? So far away from Gundicha, from Gambhira. So Swarup Damodar explained everything to him and said, this is the fisherman, my lord, who when you were in the water, he got you out. The Lord smiled. So this wonderful pastime and that specific point that Krishna's Govardhan Kaviraj Goswami says, he was affected by the ecstatic symptom which had aroused, ecstatic symptom of love of God, because he had been touched by Lord Chaitanya. At the same time, he was affected by fear. And simultaneously, both emotions were there. Very interesting concept. How is that possible? So, in short, an analysis, and devotees can meditate on it. The fisherman explained to Swarup Damodar Goswami that generally I go out fishing in the night in solitary places, but because I chant the hymn of Lord Narasingha, I am not afraid. However, whenever I am chanting the hymn of Lord Narasingha, these mantras, this ghor becomes redoubled in strength and overcomes me. This thought increases my fear so much. I missed out this particular episode, but this was there also. So the fisherman had somehow or the other, his occupational habit was to go out in darkness. Darkness signifies fear, signifies ignorance. Right? So this was one feature that he had. Definitely it will put in fear. Prabhupada in one of the purports says, darkness, he explains, as soon as it is dark, all the thieves, rogues and sinful people come out. Because now they can hide. So this was his habit. Secondly, why would he do that? Why would he come out in the night, in the dark? Because he knew many of the other fishermen won't be there. They would be asleep. I will be alone. And I know some specific places where I can catch fish in big quantities without anyone else knowing. These are my secret spots. Right? Students have secret tutorials. These are my secret tutorial places. So this deep fruitive intent within his heart for his own sense gratification would invite him to take the risk of going out in the dark to fish. So ignorance is there, fruitive intention is there. And thirdly, when this concept was put forward to him, that this is Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he says, no, I know Lord Chaitanya, I have seen him, this cannot be Lord Chaitanya. So he already has a fixed conception of who is God. So he has the habit to be in ignorance, that is when he is the most active, in darkness. Because of fruitive intent, he doesn't want anyone else to know his secret spots, he catches his own, he does his own job alone, without any disturbance. And thirdly, when explained who is God, he has his conception, I know who is God, I have actually seen him. So because of these qualities that are there, naturally fear will arise. Ignorance will give rise to fear, because ignorance is the dual partner of knowledge. And duality means fear. Wherever there is duality, there is fear. Fruitive intent is always going to cause fear because we are always anxious. Does anyone know? Is there a competitor for me? Will I have to share my proceeds? I always like to give this example. You know, supposing there is a big feast and everyone is invited, because of fruitive intent, we want to have everything. But then we see there are others also. And it puts so much competitive spirit in us. You know, you try to take everything on a plate, ultimately cannot eat everything. And at the same time, as you're eating, and you say someone else is eating better than you, there is this lamentation, maybe I will not get enough. He is better off than me. So this is fruitive intent. The process, the beginning and the end, all are full of fear. And the idea that I know God, even when approached by someone who actually explains to us as God, I already know. This conception is the seed of fear. Because I do not know. I do not know who is God. But I think I know. I have this fixed conception that I have enough knowledge. But there is no realization. So there is, because of this, you know, somehow or the other they don't meet each other. They are not parallel. There is fear. On the other hand, there was three other things that was helpful for him to overcome this fear and receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. One was his faith in the Supreme Lord. He mentions that whenever he goes out on such endeavors, he chants Narsingha Mantra. Lord Narsingha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not chant any demigod's mantra, any Baba's mantra. So he has faith in the Lord. Secondly, he has faith in the process. The process is chanting of the mantra. So he does not take recourse to something else. He chants the mantra that is there for chanting. And another important point is that is he has somehow or the other this quality unknowingly of being helpful. And in this case, this quality was manifested towards helping devotees, towards helping somebody like Swarup Damodar Goswami, who in further analysis will see is his spiritual master. You please do not go, otherwise the ghost will capture you too. Generally in the material world you find someone, abhi jao dekho kuch, nothing will happen. You go ahead and do it. And we are wishing that it, you know, generally, that let them also suffer what we have suffered. So it is not that he knew these are devotees and I must help him. But somehow or the other that good pious quality was there and it was directed towards devotees. Something like a sukriti and a gyat sukriti. And these qualifications, just because it manifested in the association of devotees, the fear could subside. Otherwise, this fear was topmost in his mind and the ecstatic symptoms were manifesting, but he was not able to relate to it. And most importantly was the role played by Swarup Damodar Goswami, the spiritual master who explains, this is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have saved him. You have done some service unto him. His manifestations, although you may not understand, please trust me, I am explaining to you. These are the words of God. Like Prabhupada, he explained the entire concept of Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita and said, this is what Krishna explains. This is what comes in parampara. We have to accept parampara. So he said, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I am telling you, trust me. And because he accepted and received the mercy of Swarup Damodar Goswami, ultimately, he was pacified. Ultimately, in the heart of every living entity, both are present. Krishna and ignorance, Maya. Ultimately, Maya could subside and Krishna could take his authorized position in the heart of the living entity, of the spirit soul. So this led him to freedom from fear and real independence. Today India is celebrating Independence Day. This is real independence. This is real freedom. Here in this verse, this concept could be understood. Prahlad hears a voice and it is like nectar, like Vedic mantras being chanted. And it is the best kirtan that he has heard, this Ati Bhishana sound coming. But Hiranyakashipu, the host of the demons there, and even the demigods, up to the planet of Lord Brahma, they are fearful. Oh, definitely they know, definitely Lord has appeared, but they are wondering, by his appearance, will something be destroyed? Will our homes be destroyed? So that fear is there. And that fear can only be removed. Pada Ambuja Upasanam. Achyutasya Pad Ambuja Upasanam. By dedicated, unmotivated, uninterrupted service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose feet are like lotus flowers. Pad Ambuja's Upasanam could also be interpreted as at whose feet are lotus flowers. And what are lotus flowers? Lotus flowers are the devotees of the Lord. So by Pada Ambuja Upasanam, this is from the 11th canto, Yogendra is explaining to Nimi Maharaj that Akutashyat Bhayam, real fearlessness can come only by Achyutta Padambuja Upasanam. So Achyutta, by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord, fearlessness will arise. And what is his surrender? Pada Ambuja, surrendering unto his lotus feet, where devotees eternally take shelter. Or in other words, taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. By serving the devotees of the Lord and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, real freedom is achieved. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki Jai Gaura Premanande.